and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. My name is Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and by California law, I am required to say that it is raining. Our guest today is Ashley Westover. They are an actor, singer, and stage combatant from Georgia, now living in New York. They produce a TTRPG podcast, spoil their dogs, and get distracted by new crafting projects very easily. Hello, Ashley.
Hey Erin, how you doing?
Oh, good. What are the crafting projects? Spill.
Oh God, everything. So I have this giant like plastic roller chest that's supposed to be for like a sandbox for children, like in my closet, and it's just full of like crochet needles, like embroidery yarn. Freaking, I got a sewing kit from my aunt recently, and or like a sewing machine now, so I'm not sewing by hand anymore.
Right.
So now I'm gonna like get into quilting and just so many like half abandoned projects. I literally the other day I was like, I should get into like welding. I broke one of my earrings. I could get like a little soldering iron and I could like do be crafty about it. So it's anything under the sun, really.
Gosh, I feel that. My boyfriend has this amazing ability to find whatever you need. So we do have a sewing machine. It is broken. He got into woodworking and I went away for Christmas and I came home and there are logs everywhere.
Whittling's
Amazing.
fun. I've also
Yeah.
dabbled in that. It's great.
He's
Good
doing a great
fun.
job. We're on this like free and for sale app, and
Yes.
yes. And so
Yeah,
some
it's dangerous.
It really is. I'm always doing these birdhouses that I get at Michael's. And then he found a giant wooden dollhouse on the free thing. He was like, "You should go get this." And so I like tore apart my car. I like got it as open as possible. And we have this giant, giant dollhouse sitting in the next room.
That is amazing.
And it's like, it's from the 80s, maybe the 70s. And the woman I got it from was like, I think she was a realtor. She's like, the client I have was gonna do this with her granddaughter and just never did. So, like, get it out of the house.
So you're the granddaughter now. Congratulations,
Exactly.
you've been adopted.
Thank gosh. I love it. Our book today is Dragonology by Dougald Steer. Writing as Dr. Ernest Drake. It came out in 2003, broad strokes of 2003. US invades Iraq.
Oof.
The Human Genome Project is completed. Finland has its first female prime minister. The Second Congo War ends. The Second Liberian Civil War ends. Tesla and MySpace are founded, and 4chan is launched.
Oh God.
Yeah.
A lot of seeds planted there, I
I
feel like.
know. And the Ologies series, I mean, if you weren't around for that, it's hard to describe. But in doing a tiny bit of research on Dougald Steer, because he really seems to be just like guy in Britain who like worked his way up in this publishing company and published all of these books. They're all by him at
Just handing out special interests as he goes along in his career, literally.
exactly. Egyptology turned 20 last year, and they released a very like a special 20th anniversary edition. There's like you mentioned the pirate one, there's wizards, there's just all sorts of stuff. And these books are so special because I read this one. I don't know if I owned it, but they have so many interactive elements. So you can like there's a little letter in the first one, there's a library card for the guy who the fictional author of it. There's like samples of dragon hide,
Like
like
dragon dust and all sorts of stuff. Great for an
yeah.
ADHD crow
Oh
brain.
my gosh. But although I was learning about it as I was reading this, I was learning about my brain. And I don't know if I have ADHD or what, or if I'm just built different. But I was looking through this and I realized like when I read this, I got stressed because there's all these like breakout boxes of text. And I was like, I don't know which one to read first. And if I read the wrong one first, I might miss out on information. And so what a nerd.
Disappear if you read them in the wrong order. It's not like it's gonna be invisible ink. It's gonna be okay, Aaron. We'll get through this, I promise.
I mean, really, like the anxiety has been there.
That's fair. There's no organization, there's no clear way to go about it. Oh God, I feel
Know they're not
that.
numbered, but this was gold if you had these. This was currency. This was like if you got them at the library. I mean, they probably were always on hold. They always have like gems in the front cover. It's like embossed. They are
Yes.
huge. They're like maybe 15 inches tall, maybe more, but fairly slim. I got mine on ThriftBooks, and this is the only time ThriftBooks has done me dirty because the first couple pages are just like obliterated.
Oh no. Wait, are there missing? Oh no. Erin, you should have told me. I would have sent you pictures. Here, look.
It is the
You want to
only
see
like
the little guy? Oh, I have my background blurred because my room is a mess. So this is actually not helpful. I'll send you
okay.
pictures after if you
Thank you. But it's only like the first couple pages, and I did message them and they were like, "Well, we'll give you a full refund. We're so sorry." But it seems like this is a very difficult book to get on ThriftBooks. It seems
Yes.
like they don't have many
And I will
anymore.
say, even like the libraries, like when you would check it out there, because there's so many like little notes and things in it, like there's loose bits in envelopes in these books. And so it was not guaranteed that you would have the full story from the
Yeah.
library, or elsewhere. It's difficult, I think, to find one in full at this point.
Yes. Which like adds a special layer because it is meant to be sort of like a found item. And so it's interesting that the fictional sort of like life of the book takes on a actual life of the book, which I love so much. And even though it's damaged, I am going to put this in the little free library near me. And I don't know, anytime I put a book back in a little free library, I put a Lisa Frank sticker in the front cover so that like if anyone is paying attention, they know like
They're
it
like,
came from it's I'm
she's she
tracking her.
they've got like a what do serial killers do? Leave like a signature?
Signature,
Well,
yeah.
signature is also something other people leave too.
Yeah.
But
You
you know what I
know,
mean? It's fine. It's fine.
yeah.
It's fine.
I've been watching
Hey,
CSI all day, yeah.
it's fine.
It's nice to then be like see a book that I've read and be like, is this mine? And
And you
then
can
it
check.
is.
That's fun.
Exactly. But how did this book come into your life? What is your story with it?
That is a great question, and I think it is a mystery for the ages because, okay, so 2000 early aughts, right? This book came out when I was, I think, 6 years old, and I'm from a place in Georgia called Augusta. And in Augusta, when I was a kid, the only places that we would go to get books, there were three spots. Mostly, 99% of the time, it was the Family Christian Bookstore. That's as much like that tells you as much as you need to know about like where I was raised. Like it's just good old Christian fun. But then there was also Books a Million, which I don't remember ever actually going into the Books a Million. I just knew it was there, and when it died, we mourned it because my mom is also like a huge nerd and loves books. And then there was this place called there's it still is it's still open. This place called Second and Charles, and Second and Charles, I thought it was a chain. I thought it was at the same level of Books a Million when I was a kid. And when I moved, I was like, why doesn't anyone have a Second and Charles? What's going on? But it's a combination like used bookstore, and they have like new books sometimes too, as well as like Funko Pops and like random nerd shit, right? And so mostly we would go to Second and Charles or a Family Christian bookstore. And so I don't know where Dragonology came from. I'm assuming it was Second and Charles because it's not a Christian novel,
No.
so there's not at all. But here's the thing. So it because of the nature of this book, it's like presented as like the journal of a scientist who's a dragonologist who's studying these real creatures and is providing like in depth for a 9-year-old, at least six
Yeah.
to 9-year-old scientific observations about these creatures. And so in my little DeLulu brain, it was just on my bookshelf one day, and I was
Right.
like, oh my God. This is an ancient tome. I must have been chosen, you know, like I'm the this was my chosen one moment was
Yeah.
finding this book. And so I took this word as gospel. I for so long was fully convinced that this was like a real scientific journal that I had found. And to this day, I still like I don't believe it. Dragons are probably real. I have Dragons are real. You know, I have a PowerPoint that I made with works cited about how and why dragons are real. I can send it to you if you want. It's
Yeah.
unhinged. But so it started me on my journey of like full like daydreaming constantly. I don't know if it's quite maladaptive yet. It didn't start out that way at least, but like the whole fully immersing myself into the fiction of this book. And when you open it too, like it's hard to find anywhere in here, like where it would be from, like our world or whatnot. Like
Yeah.
everything is very like in character, like whether it's the illustrations and like I don't know what the words are for like the fine print in a
Yeah.
book.
The imprint on the first page is even called Candlewick Press, which like exists today, keeps putting out books, but fits. Like it's not like Nintendo, it fits. It's of the era. And there's, I mean, I
Publishers
don't
of
know.
rare and unusual books. Like, come
Yes.
on, come on, come on.
Exactly.
I don't know where it came from. I'm assuming second in Charles. And in that same vein, I do have my Pirateology book with
Hell
me as
yeah.
well. Both of those just sort of like just appeared, I think, one day to sort of break me out of like the different devotional books that I was reading otherwise.
Good.
Yeah, get some variety in there.
It's so interesting you say that because I think one of the big surprises to me in revisiting this is because I only had like really vague memories of like the interactive elements of it and knowing I think this was the only one of the series that I read. Looking back, because I am at like I guess a neurodivergent person, I don't think I had a lot of special interests per se. But then I'm like, I watched so much television. I watched an absurd amount of television. So actually maybe it's that and maybe it just like worked out that that ended up being my career. And so like I could
We love when the stars align.
what was interesting revisiting this book is that there is a lot of like genuinely helpful information. Like it's interesting you talked about like the Christian Family Bookstore because he gets into Darwinism in this book. There's like a lot of seeds being planted if you become like a science kid or even like a mythology kid. There's a lot of like real and concrete places for you to branch out and have those interests. And like
Oh,
he,
absolutely.
it's amazing. I was looking into it just beforehand. He talks about like there are these dragons from this area of the world, and he gives like I didn't check all of them, but like the lung is how he refers to Chinese dragons. That's true. That's one of the names for him, which I was really amazed by.
Especially since like the Southern Baptist world, everything is very American centric. I think this was probably one of the first books, if not the first book, that introduced me to like, hey, things are different in other places. Like, because in the book it shows like, like you mentioned in China, the Chinese dragons, it also shows like I think it's like wyverns over in Australia, like different, like how the differences between, and like they're all like very sciencey, like this is the reason why this dragon's built this way, and da 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 da. And there's a lot to do about like conservationism in here as
Yes.
well, because the whole book is like, listen, people want to kill dragons for their power and riches, but we can't do that. We are noble dragonologists. We're here to study them and preserve their lands as humans continue to expand. Because this book is set, I think, in like 1904. I know it's before the Wright brothers invented a plane because
Yes.
he makes a couple digs at the Wright brothers for
Yes.
some reason. He's like, people think we could fly someday, but that's ridiculous. It's just like, okay, I love beef between scientists, like to this day, like when there's like a research paper and they're like, yeah, you could think this if you're an idiot from Cambridge or something. You know what I mean? It's so funny. And there's like that sort of like sass in here too, which is great.
Yes. If you go to the Wayback Machine, they do have a biography of the fictional author of Ernest Drake. And like, even this, he clearly put work into it. Like, Ernest Drake is born in 1822, which is the same year that Gideon Mantle discovers an iguanodon tooth in Sussex, which is where he says that this author was born, is in Sussex. Like, I looked at Dugald Stier. He's like a freelance writer and teacher. Like, I really love not only when children's books treat children and their readers, not necessarily as adults, but as equals of like equal mental capacity.
Like kids can be smart. Kids are fucking
Exactly.
clever. Like if you don't dumb things down, that just like gives them more stuff to ask questions about and like dig into. Like there are
Exactly.
huge words in this book that like I was reading this, I was like, I read this as a 6-year-old. Hell yeah, go Ashley. You know what I
Exactly.
mean? Yeah.
And like the information is applicable. Like they have anatomical sketches of dragons and they are the same bones that you would use to describe human anatomy. It's, scapulas and things like that. So it gives you, yeah, such an easy tie in to like actual, so that when you get to like AP bio. You're like, yeah, I know this word. It's not
It's like, oh,
completely
I'm
foreign
familiar
to
with
me.
this. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's fantastic. And I think too, I always made this joke. So when before I reread this, I remember Dragonology like very fondly, you know, obviously, because it's like it got me started on fucking dragons, which I still 2020, I made a PowerPoint over how they're still real. That was my COVID like mental breakdown, was just doing a lot of research into dragons. When I got in the mail, I was so excited. I like sat my significant other and I was like, Tony, I gotta show you this book. Have you ever seen the ology books? And he was like, I'm scared, you're very intense, what's happening? And I was like, don't worry about it, trust me on this. And he was like, okay. And so we went through like the first half of it together before I had to like shoo him away, be like, no, I gotta dive in. And it was wild because I remember I was talking out loud to him, saying like things that I remember being like very like sticking out to me. And then we would get to it to the next page and I'd be like, oh shit, it was this, like the shrink wrapping of like dinosaur bones and stuff, you know, like that was like a huge thing that I like think is fascinating, like shrink wrapping fossils. Like they don't look like that. If we just gave someone like a bamboo skeleton and said, hey, recreate it like you would dinosaurs people did in like the 80s, it would look terrifying. It would look so alien to us. So you need to add like muscle and all sorts of stuff. And so when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, obviously some dinosaurs were dragons. And the reason we don't have a lot of their skeletons is because they had hollow bones like birds, which don't like fossilize as well. Duh. Like it was like it just like little things like that. Like as I was revisiting this book, I was like, oh, there's so many things from here that I just sort of like kept with me and didn't realize they originated in this one fucking book. It was wild. I was like, wow, my brain just found that and was like, you know, we're good. We don't need to develop past this.
It feels surprising that we were talking about conservation to this degree in 2003. It felt
Yeah.
surprising, even. I feel like the idea that like dinosaurs descended into chickens was like not around, at least
Not at all.
still feels like kind of a new idea.
Like dinosaurs having feathers, like it feels like so new. I also like to make this joke that dragonology, because I always have to make things gay, for some reason there's like a like an in-joke in the asexual community that we just fucking love dragons. Like an asexual person will look at a dragon and go, hell yeah. And so I was like, you know what? This book made me ace. I'm pretty sure it also gave me ADHD. And like pirateology made me gay because I was rereading that too. And in the pirateology book, it's set up same way as dragonology, right? Like it's got all these bits in there, but it's from the journal of like a pirate hunter. And he's hunting this female pirate named like Arabella Drummond. And so like it's giving you all this info about pirates, like the different, and there's like these like cords in there. You can like learn how to tie knots and you can read all about different ships. I fucking love boats.
Oh my
Oh,
gosh, yeah.
I love three mast like sailing ships so big. Oh my God, I went on one time, like a Spanish like sloop or something. Lost my mind. Oh, it was great. I love boats.
Hell
And
yeah.
so I was reading this and I had forgotten that like there was like a plot in pirateology. There's not really a plot in dragonology. It's more like a combination of info, but pirateology, there's like the same thing, but also there's a plot of this guy who's also like the naming conventions, because in dragonology, it's Ernest Drake. Drake is another word for dragon. In pirateology, the author's last name is Lubber, like a landlubber kind of thing. And the book is just about him like hunting down this Arabella Drummond. And like as you read through, you're picking up on clues about who she actually is. At one point, she sneaks on board his ship to pretend to be a cabin boy. And he like doesn't realize it until the very end of the book when he's like, she's a Jezebel, she's subterfuge, she tricked me. And like she ends up being like Blackbeard's sister or something. And so like putting the puzzles together throughout that too was just wild. But also Lady Pirate Hot. I think that was the point I was trying to get to with that. That's why that made me gay, because Lady Pirate Hot. But it's just wild how I've always been obsessed with like dragons and pirates specifically. Like when Pirates of the Caribbean came out, lost my mind. Any movie about dragons, Aragon, even though the movie was not great in comparison to the book, it had a dragon on screen. I was happy. You know what I mean? Like it's wild how interests that you like latch onto early on just carry for so long. And that might just be the tism being like, aha, dibs on a
It
topic,
might
but
be.
I like dragons and pirates real bad.
No, I in that and of the era, were you into Merlin? Merlin was very pivotal to me.
Oh, was I into Merlin? Are
Yeah.
you kidding me? No, I forced Tony to rewatch it, but then like we got through like the first three episodes and then he was locked in. He was like, this is very good. And I was like, I know.
Yeah,
You just gotta get past the CGI.
I mean it was 2008, I think. Buffy was like one of my cornerstones. my mother gave birth and was in the recovery room, and season one, episode three was playing, and she was the witch. She was like, "We gotta watch this when we get home." And that was,
Oh.
I was Buffy in for Halloween in third grade, and so I
Erin, are
remember,
we the
yeah,
same person? Because I
I.
always go as my go-to costume for Halloween is Faith from Buffy.
We logged on and we were both saying hell yeah, hell yeah. It's a car, yeah, I'm having the same thoughts. I'm
Oof.
having the exact same thoughts. And at one point I was looking at the Washington Post. I'm from outside DC. The Washington Post has like a TV guide that they put in the Sunday paper every week. And the one season that Merlin was on NBC, it was the first season. And it was coming out that week. They put the cast poster on, and Anthony Stewart Head was on it. And I was like, "That's
My
Giles."
boy,
So
Giles,
I started
instant watch.
watching. Exactly, I started watching it for him. I was pirating it on YouTube somehow, and it was when you could still do that. And they would post each episode in like
In
six
like
parts.
three, yeah, like 3 minute
Yeah,
increments. Yeah, you just like gotta find the right
exactly.
order. Yeah.
And that got me into Robin Hood from the same era. It got me into, and then Doctor Who, and that was
Yeah.
on my path, you know. That's how I got into, I remember it so clearly, the first time I ever like realized that film was a career was I was watching
Yeah.
Merlin. It was an Anthony Stewart Head shot. It was of Giles. He was wearing this, he plays, you know, King of Camelot. He's wearing this big red cape. It's a low angle, so you're looking up at him. His big red cape swoops over the camera, and I was like, that's establishing like that he has power and that he's an authority. And I had to be like, oh, people make these choices. Like
Oh,
this
that's
is,
cool.
and so dragons.
Fuck yeah, dragons.
And the dragon in that is played by John Hurt, who was, you know, Ollivander and Harry Potter. So that was an immediate connection.
He's also in Doctor Who too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The BBC has three actors that they use in everything.
True.
I love it.
Yeah, I was watching V for Vendetta the other day. He's in that. I didn't finish
Love V for
it,
Vendetta.
but it was really, I was watching, I think, Hellboy this morning. Again, just
Why do you
always.
keep mentioning things that I also I had the biggest crush on Hellboy. I don't know
Babe.
why. I was like, ah, hot demon guy. Like,
But I think
oh no.
he's in that also, John Hurt.
Probably,
He was really everywhere. I remember when he died. Yeah.
yeah. R.I.P. my boy.
I know.
Circling back to Buffy, because
Of course.
I want to follow that same line you pretty
Yeah.
much just did. So Buffy, it came out, and we're the same age, so you know, like when it came out,
Yeah.
like when we were born, basically, we were
Yes, 97.
entering the world of Buffy. And my mom also, like when she had me, she would just watch Buffy. Like that's what she
Yes.
watched when she was pregnant and when I was like an infant. And then when I discovered it years later, I was like watching it on YouTube, but because it wasn't like Christian, I have this distinct memory of like watching it and feeling like I wasn't supposed to. And my mom walked in and I was like, "Mom, I can explain." And she was like, "Oh my God, is that Buffy? Can we watch it again?" And my whole world was rocked. I was like, "What? You huh?" So it was great, but then also I have a vivid memory of watching the scene where Angel and Buffy have sex for the first time, and I remember this that and this was in high school for me at this point. And I remember catching myself watching Buffy just as much as I was watching Angel, and I like sat for a second. I was like, wait, 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 wait,
Okay.
wait, shit, 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 fuck, 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 fuck. And then the next day, I caught myself like looking at girl butts in like the
Yes.
high school hallway, and I was like, no, fuck, fuck. So to this day, blondes who can kick my ass are like my primo female type because Buffy just awoken something in me. But I'm just like, it's
Yeah.
wild,
And mine is
wild.
Faith. Damn.
Faith and Buffy should have been Endgame, but that's a story for another day.
I know.
It's fine. I'm okay. I'm not
And
okay.
what's hilarious is we were talking about this episode, like scheduling and stuff, and you mentioned you were listening to our Twilight episode, which has April
Yes.
Consolo in it. And the way that the two of us met was I co-created a show at our college and we cast you and April. And during, I don't know if it made it into the final edit, but during that like 2 hour conversation about Twilight, I kept telling April, you need to watch Buffy, you need to watch. She was like, I know, I've seen the pictures of Faith, I get it.
She needs to. Yeah. I feel like she's afraid that once she starts, she won't be able to stop and she'll get sucked into the black hole. But I actually, can I make a Buffy confession to you that I don't know?
Go
I
for
don't
it.
want you to look at me differently after this, okay?
That's okay.
I'm someone who does not like endings. I really, really love a TV series and I know like the last few episodes are coming up, I won't watch it.
I've never seen the last season of Merlin for that reason. I've never seen it.
The last season is great, but I haven't
Hurtful.
seen like the last five-ish episodes of Buffy because I was like, oh, I can't do that. I've
Yeah.
rewatched it so many fucking times. Have I seen the end? No. Would I have seen the end of Merlin if I had known that was the last episode? Probably not. I thought it was going to keep going. And so I wasn't keeping track. So that's why
Yeah.
I've seen that full series, but I haven't seen the last episode of Buffy and I've somehow avoided spoilers. And I feel like saying that now, inevitably someone's going to be like, this is what happened. And I'm going to be like,
Yeah.
well, fuck. But
I won't do that,
it's.
but I will tell you, like, a hard show to end, and they did it wonderfully. It is a
Ugh.
really, really solid end, in my opinion. There's some deaths that are really hard and heartbreaking, as there has to be, but an ending that I think is incredibly, I mean, I cry every time.
Ugh.
It heartening, and I think really speaks to like the essence of the show, and it makes you feel really good. And
I have to watch this series in totality at some point in my life, but I am not emotionally
yeah.
at that point yet, I don't think. But Merlin, it also was like, because I remember watching it and thinking, like when I was younger, I mean, like, oh, this is such a fun show. But then when I was rewatching it recently with Tony, I was like, oh God, this hurts. Like, it's so funny. It's so funny and it's so great. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, there was so much more. And so now every time I watch Buffy, that happens again as well. I'm like, oh, it's my fun little vampire show. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Up
Ugh.
until I was like, into my 20s, I was always rewatching Buffy at some point. Like I
Yeah.
watched it as it aired, and then for 7 years, my father every year for their anniversary gave my mother a season of Buffy on DVD because that's as it was coming
Oh.
out. And the Buffy DVD menus are sick. They,
Really?
oh my. They're interactive. Before you start every episode, there's like an audio bit that plays over the blackout of like a signature line from that episode. I think season 5, you're like wandering around a graveyard. Like a lot of them are like that. So good.
Now I need to get Buffy on DVD.
But
That's
there
so
was a
cool.
time when I was in high school and I was rewatching season 6 and I was like, oh, this is giving me a language to talk about my depression. Like Buffy's going through what
Yeah.
I'm going through. What a show.
It also even though it did fall into the like the kill your gays trope, it did have, I think, like the first like lesbian
Yes, kiss.
like established like kiss like relationship on TV. And so Joss Whedon, while we all know he's just fucking Whedon, he did give us that.
I'm so interested as like more and more stories come out about what that set was like, because I think, and this is, I think, just an interesting thing about being in the biz is that I think like so much of that show beyond Joss Whedon was like Sarah Michelle Gellar, like really
Oh,
understanding this character, really
yeah.
pushing for it.
I love her so much.
I
Also love
know.
that she and Fred, Freddie Prince Jr., they've stood the test of time. I love them. Also, Matthew Lillard's mom or his aunt went to my church down in Georgia, and so I saw him randomly in the hallway at my church one time, and I thought I was hallucinating. I was like, "Is that Shaggy? What the fuck?" And my mom was like, "Oh yeah, his mom's real nice, or his aunt, or someone he's related to." Back to dragons. So I mentioned that, like, and anytime there was a bit of media that had dragons on it, I would latch onto it, whether it was good or bad. To this day, I'm not picky with the entertainment I consume as long as it's entertaining. My favorite movie is 7 hours and 40 something minutes long. It's so bad, it's good. Like, I don't have high standards for the media I consume. And so there were actually a surprising amount of books at the Family Christian bookstore that had dragon themes. And I think this might be why Dragonology got snuck onto my shelf somehow, is because Family Christian Bookstore and in the Bible, there's like a lot of lore around dragons, surprisingly. And my dad took us to like the Ark Encounter in, I don't know if it's like Utah or where, but like they recreated the Ark and we like went and they had a whole exhibit about dragons there too. And so I was like, this was worth it now. It's a big boat and it's got dragons. Like, despite the other context, this is great for me. So there were a lot of books at the Family Christian Bookstore that had dragons like involved somehow. And I remember there was this one series in particular, and I'm blanking on the name of the series, but it was basically dragons were angels that had come down to Earth and they could shape shift into humans. And so they had like had half angel, half humans, so half dragon, half human babies. And like at puberty, like the kids would start developing like dragon traits. Like the guy who could breathe fire had got like grew like hard scales in his mouth, so it wouldn't burn his mouth when he breathed fire. And the girl like had like growths on her back that turned into wings and like all sorts of shit. And so when I was reading those books and reading dragonology and all that stuff, I was like, okay, when I get to puberty, if I like wish really hard for wings, that's what I'm gonna get. Like it. So I
Yeah.
was fully. I took everything very literally. I don't do well with sarcasm. So like, and every time something is was presented to me, I didn't know like what fiction was really
Right.
when I was a kid, especially like because I was taught to take everything in the Bible at full face value. Like, don't look into it like for context
Right.
historically or anything, you know, just this is what happened. There's a talking donkey. Don't worry about it. And so like I was like, these books came from the Family Christian Bookstore. Obviously, they're like true. Like, and so I was fully, it must have done something to my brain to be so fully like in like believing that I could be a dragon at some point.
Yeah.
Like, but it's I still have those books on my mom's bookshelf. So it was that series, and there were a couple others too, where like it was there was this one series too that the main character, she was born a slave, but then she found a dragon egg, and then that like was like her call to action or whatever. And they were like, oh, you're the chosen one. You have to go to the big city now. And she ended up being the only one who could like incubate and like raise dragon eggs
Oh,
in this
yeah.
world. And she ended up being like a light wizard. And they had like Jesus in the book. His name was Paladin. And like he was like, you have to get people to believe in me or else my power is going to wane. Like really like heavy-handed on like the Christian symbology. But it was also so cool, the world building for the different ways that different abilities that dragons had than those kind of books. And so I read so many of them. And I was the kid who like I developed very, very quickly with like my linguistic skills, but like math and social, et cetera, did not quite get there as quickly, especially since I was like homeschooled up to high school, like
Yeah.
within like the church. And so that was like all I knew till I got to high school. So in that formative years, a lot of the my like thinking was, okay, this is how everything's supposed to be. It was very like when we went to the doctor, I would just start talking in full sentences at 2 years old,
Yeah.
and my doctor, my pediatrician looked at me, and then he looked at my mom, and he was like, she's not supposed to be able to do this. And I like read all the books in the library by fifth grade and all this other shit. And I think like cramming that much stuff into my brain as fast as I could, I don't know, it gave me like, I loved learning, I loved like mythology and like things that were fantastical and weird and like different than what the real world is, because the real world's so fucking boring,
Yeah.
you know, especially when you're a kid, when you're reading or like watching TV or like seeing like more creative outlets, and you
Yeah.
look around and you're like, this sucks here. I want to go in here in the book world. This would be great.
But I love that you said, like, talking about how the world feels as a kid, because I think that's something that comes up in a lot of these is how, like, small and limited the world can feel.
Yeah.
And I think something so interesting about this book is the way that it's presented. Like you said, it's like a dragonologist. Like they give you like someone's field guide at one point.
Yeah. And they're
And
like, hey,
so,
if you go do this, like make sure you get fireproof jackets and like hit tips and tricks like that.
exactly, really specific detail, which is so
Yeah.
great. And there's this element of it that feels like it's secret knowledge. And I think as a kid, you know there's so much being withheld from you. You know that there's so much, like, one, that you don't understand, and two, that like people are preventing you from understanding.
Yeah,
So
like, oh, you'll know when you're
finding
older. Are you
exactly.
sure about that? Can't you just tell me? Like, what do you
Why
mean?
can't I know now? Like,
Exactly.
I think it's such a gift, like, to have that thing of like when a book especially says like we have something secret and special and unique that is ours. Because another thing that comes up all the time is like there is so little that's yours as a kid. There's so little that you have control over that gets to be something that is uniquely yours. I love when books on this podcast are just like little forehead smooches from the author to
Yeah.
children. Like when you can really tell that these authors just really love giving things to kids and have are pure of heart and
Yeah, and
all
like
that
here's this
jazz.
little world that you can have access to. Like that, like
Yeah.
this is a place that you can go and just fully like dive into the research or whatnot. In here, they also have like potion and like
Yes.
spells and stuff. And like I remember reading the ingredients and being like, shit, how am I gonna get dragon scales? How to
Yeah.
make this like invisibility potion or whatever. And so then, of course, I would go into the backyard with a ladle and make potions out of like
Yeah.
grass and stuff, you know? Like
I did the same thing.
the ladle was probably my favorite toy growing up. It was just this random metal one that I stole and I just went on adventures with.
Amazing.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember at certain ages, like in fourth grade, maybe going out with like Tupperwares and just smashing up some
A
berries.
bucket, dude. You could do so much with a bucket, especially since, so I, part of the year we would spend like in Augusta, and then occasionally we would go to my grandparents' farm, which is out like middle of nowhere, Georgia. And so it's like a blueberry farm. It's like blueberries and honey is what my family farms. We've got like 500 acres or something, a lot of blueberries. And so I would go out and I would like help gather like the chicken eggs, and then I would just like run around, and they're like wild blackberry bushes and wild honeysuckle and like scuppernons and like all this other stuff that like was edible. Like I, at a young age, my parents were like, "You're gonna want to eat everything you see. Please don't. Here's what is actually edible. Like, please, like, know your flora and fauna, Ashley, dear God." So I would like gather stuff and just be like eating it off like the vines while like looking for signs of dragons and things like that. I think at one point I saw like a chicken footprint in the mud and got real excited for a second, and I was like, "No, this is too small, and it doesn't make sense for a juvenile dragon to be here without the mother present as well. So that's why it's not a dragon."
But those are like
Like,
analytical thinking skills.
I was a huge fucking nerd. Yeah. It was great.
There are these little pockets of not only like there are pullouts and things like that. For some reason, I thought there were like pop-ups, which there aren't, but there are like I really remembered they have these portions of like the skin of what different dragons feel like. I remembered that. Of
You have an
the
Asian lung that's 250 years old. The wing membrane of a marsupial dragon,
That's the
which is
one
a
I'm looking at.
kind
That's the
from.
one I really remembered. There's a marsupial dragon that lives in Australia.
It's a little
Exactly.
kangaroo. How can you not love that? He's perfect.
It's like fanciful but informed. And there's like there are things that are valuable here. There's the on the page before, there's the frost dragon wing membrane, which is so pretty.
And too, like, it shows like how dragons breathe fire. Like, it's got like they have like a venom reservoir and like a spark thing, da, da, da. And they use like they hearken to things that animals in the quote unquote real world do and use. And also, there's like part there's I don't remember what page it is, but there's this point where it's like, yeah, people used to think that the platypus wasn't real, but obviously it is now. We've got like a taxidermy version that just got mailed to us here in Sussex. So people who think that dragons aren't real are just stupid and behind the times. Like it's presented in such like a matter of fact way. Oh, ate that shit up. Nom 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 nom.
It was interesting that you mentioned the Ark Museum because something, no, I'm bringing it back around. Because there's, and I've seen a meme of it that I think puts it best. That's it's like Jerry Seinfeld, and it goes, "What's the deal with the recurring pattern of a world-consuming flood in like every world religion and mythology?" And I think that's just something I've been thinking about a lot. And with it, like, I don't think I ever really thought about dragons being real, but it is interesting that so many worlds and mythologies have this similarity. What's that about? Now it makes me think of this like random Netflix documentary I watched probably in 2020, years ago, about like a giant, like primordial snake in the Amazon that was super strong and super huge, and now I'm like, well, you could see that and
It's a
think
dragon.
dragon
You could
is
see the dragon. It's in the river. This could be a dragon.
exactly if humans were around at the same time as woolly mammoths, which certainly would not make any sense. Then I don't think it's crazy.
And here's the thing too. Ancient people probably like came across dino skulls and were
Oh
like,
yeah.
damn, that's a big lizard. It probably breathes fire or something. And also,
Yeah.
like, I did pull up my
I
PowerPoint
love it.
that I had made, and it's titled How and Why Dragons Were Totally Real. And a lot of the things were examples of dragon sightings throughout the world. Like in 2000 BC, the Epic of Gilgamesh records the slaying of like the monster Humbaba in Mesopotamia, is described as a dragon. Daniel in the Bible was said to kill a dragon. Alexander the Great, he invaded India and he brought back reports of seeing a great hissing dragon living in a cave. And other Greek rulers supposedly brought dragons back alive from Ethiopia. There's these ancient explorers who both recorded sightings of like small flying reptiles in Egypt. they were like, yeah, the things are like in the trees, and if you get close, they'll like come by and like spit something at you that burns. And so it might not be fire that dragons breathe, but there are plenty of like venomous creatures. And so like there's spots all over. There's in Africa, Europe, East Asia, Southern Asia, Western Asia. There's so much everywhere. Sightings all over the world. And it's just wild to think that people think dragons aren't real. I think they're kind of stupid for that. I'm gonna just come out and say it. I think you're stupid if you don't think dragons are real. This is the hill I'm gonna die on. Everyone needs something that
They
they're
do.
obnoxiously stubborn about. This is the thing for me, for sure.
On dragons appearing throughout the world,
Yes.
there's like a Saint Margaret or Saint Marjorie whose job is to fight a dragon. It's not invalid,
It's
is what I'm
not.
saying.
And in dragonology, they mention, hold on, where is it? It's like when they talk about like dragon hunters throughout history, they talk about, because obviously like George and the Dragon is a huge one
Right.
in
They talk about Marco
Christian
Polo.
mythos. They talk about Marco Polo, but they talk about, and here it's like, all right, so there's two Georges that people talk about whenever we're talking about dragon slaying. George of Cappadocia, but he was a dragon slayer who got confused with a Christian saint. Saint George slew the symbolic dragon of paganism. He's not a real dragon slayer. And it's just like, ugh. I wasn't raised Catholic, so I don't know about like all the saints and stuff, but I do remember when I was like, oh, there's dragons in Catholic? That's cool. Not gonna lie. I didn't click that the dragon that Saint George slayed was supposed to be paganism until I reread this book
Well,
last week. I thought it was like again, I don't do well with metaphors. And so
yeah.
I was just like, yeah, this is a literal dragon that we're talking about. Of course.
Exactly. But also, like, how
So.
interesting that he introduces this idea that dragons can, instead of being literal in this story, can be mythical. And it's also like, he doesn't say this, but you might have heard about Saint George in church. Here's our spin on that. It's,
Yeah,
and
sometimes
there's
the two get conflated, but that happens.
exactly. There's all these little things of like, you might have heard about Marco Polo. Maybe you've heard about Beowulf.
Or even like my boy Merlin, like he makes an appearance. He's like he's
He's
Merlin is like
mentioned a
the
lot.
first. He's not the first dragonologist. The first dragonologist was Fuxi in 2962 BC on the banks of China's Yellow River. So that's the first recorded dragonologist, but the first Western dragonologist was Merlin. And so like it breaks down like the different like and also ooh, this was one thing I want to talk about. So in dragonology and in like just like mythos in general, it's interesting to see how like Western dragons are often seen as like greedy monsters, blah 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 blah, and like Eastern dragons are seen as like symbols of good luck and whatnot. And a lot of it was pointed out in dragonology too. A lot of it has to do with the relationship that the people have with the land that they're on. And so Western culture tends to be very like conquery and like let's just like get strip the lumber, let's get the shit that we need. We're going to expand into this dragon's territory without any regard for its habitat. And that's where a lot of the like not just conservation talk, but also like pointing out like, hey, if you're destroying something's habitat, it's going to start eating your sheep, and then it's going to start eating the people when the sheep run out. Whereas like in dragonology, it's ex described how like a lot of times Eastern dragons have like specific temples dedicated to them. And like there's like different Tibetan monks or whatever that like sometimes their job is to like make sure the dragon has enough food and like they're very polite to it. And it's not so much about like taming the dragon as like being polite and having a lot of etiquette towards it, which is like could be how they also view their relationship with like the land and everything too. So I think it's such a wild, it's very, very cool how it's pointed out in this book. Like, hey, if you treat the land, if you treat the dragons, your world well, it will reward you by not trying to eat you and your children, kind of thing. So,
That first dragonologist that you mentioned is Chinese. The dragon gives him the secret of writing. And
yes.
there's a great picture of this dragon sitting down with this guy pointing at a scroll, being like,
He's
"Here's how
like,
you do
is A, B, C, D. Okay, human, you got it. Okay, cool.
it's and he's so excited and enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
It's a great picture.
It's so good. They're both, and there's a turtle there too. This is a little guy. He's perfect. But it does also too say like it's not known whether modern dragons regret so generously helping mankind in this way. Like maybe they're like, these guys are kind of dicks now.
Yeah, that like style of writing really reminds me of a book that I read oddly in childhood, which is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is just kind of
Yeah.
cute and winking and Hitchhiker's Guide to the
It's it
Galaxy.
like it likes it makes the reader in on the joke. You know what I
Exactly.
mean? It's not just like it's not like people just in the book that are like having like these things. It's like, hey, wink, wink, kind of like not quite a fourth wall break, but like, I mean, definitely fourth wall break in this because it directly addresses the reader. But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, hey, yeah, this is wild, huh? This is crazy, right?
There's also a degree of, like you were saying, with like the Wright brothers of like, and this is just something that I think I look for a lot in books, is that there's like, no, people who are in positions of authority can be questioned and science can be wrong, and then we learn from it and we grow. I feel like there has to be like a bingo for this podcast, and like one is mentioning Buffy and the other is mentioning Wizard of Oz, which is my other formative text. And like, I don't think it was the author's intended purpose, but a huge thing about that book is like the people in power cannot be trusted and they are lying to you.
Side note, The
So
Wizard of
no.
Oz was the first play I was ever in. So that was the first like acting thing I ever did. So that like set me on my own yellow brick road.
Oh.
We might be the same person, Erin.
We really
This
might.
is wild.
We really might. I love
You
it.
mentioned
I
V for
love it.
Vendetta. Were you also obsessed with Zorro?
I wasn't obsessed, but yes.
Not obsessed, but yes. Cool,
Indeed.
cool, cool,
Indeed. I didn't watch V for Vendetta until like recently, and I didn't finish it because I don't know why. Brainworms, but it's leaving Netflix, and I think Zorro is
cool.
also leaving Netflix.
I
My
need
cat just woke
there's like
up.
a specific genre of like, I think it's like 90s movie, if it's
Yes.
like guy with a sword or sarcastic guy and girl
Swashbuckling, yeah.
swashbuckling. I love swashbuckling. The Mummy also falls into this, obviously, with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz. Just like that whole vibe, like where they're like just like kind of grungy, but they're like, how they're just cool fighting the system, doing what they want, being adventurous. Indiana Jones, obviously.
Certainly.
Like, it was funny. In my household growing up, so it was the Bible, obviously, it was number one. That's number one. But then slightly below that was Lord of the Rings, and then Indiana Jones, and then X-Men.
Hell yeah.
And I think it's funny because, mainly because my mom is a huge nerd and she's obsessed with those different media bits. But it's wild because in the Bible, I like to say canon Jesus is different than fanon Jesus. I don't have a great
It's
relationship with the
true.
church, but there are things in the Bible. It's like, hey, don't be a dick to your neighbor. Don't judge people. You know, life lessons that should be taken to heart. And then these media bits, especially I think X-Men, because it's like the analogies with that even didn't even go over my head, surprisingly enough. Like, it's like, hey, treating people differently for how they're born is bad. Like Magneto was right. I'm gonna stand on that hill for as long as I live, but being raised on like all of these things at once, like Fellowship and Indiana Jones and X-Men, it's like found family tropes. And then we've got freaking adventure, always try to learn and like punch a Nazi in the face, you know, like if people are being dicks, call them out on it. And then like don't judge people for how they were born. Those like three core values I took a lot of, despite like other people or institutions that I was raised alongside directly contradicting what they were saying they enjoyed about this media, you know? So it's wild because tying back to dragonology and dragons, like having that inquisitive mindset and questioning like, hey, so why would I just blindly trust this when you're saying one thing and doing another? And so in dragonology, it puts up like the scientific method and like it's encourages people to like investigate things and like come to their own conclusions. And so it's definitely gave me certain tools that I don't know where else I would have gotten those tools, but I think a lot of them came from these books, like having that inquisitive mind and like digging and trying to put the pieces together instead of just like trusting what you're told, which is something I'm very prone to, I will say. And so I have to force myself to question stuff sometimes, but it's just wild how all these things like tie together and like with hindsight, you know, looking back and being like, whoa, this affected me way more than I thought it did.
That's true. That's so interesting how you talk about like the recurring themes throughout the cornerstone media, because I've never done that before. And yet now, like the two main messages that I take from The Wizard of Oz are don't trust authority, which is certainly there in how much I watch X-Files and how big that was.
Oh,
That was the
Files.
other, you know, formative influence in terms of TV.
We're
And
the
also like
same person.
my mom is like a Soviet scholar and like wrote her
Cool.
PhD about like secession and revolution. So like of course like that aspect of like question authority and like overthrow stuff is always there. And then the other message of Wizard of Oz is that the things that you need to succeed are already within you, which is such a Buffy thing.
Yes.
Oh.
Ugh.
And like When I was writing this horror movie, I was trying to like figure out the big climax. How do I want to do it? And then I was like, oh my God, it's the climax of Ella Enchanted. It, where she's holding the knife and then she drops it. She
Don't
tells
get me started
herself,
on Ella
I
Enchanted. Oh
know.
my God.
And I never read the book, and I want to do that on this podcast someday.
Yes.
But again, like my bingo, Anne Hathaway is
Ugh.
so that's what I want to be.
I remember watching Ella Enchanted and being relating a little bit too much to Ellen, being like, oh no, I also do everything literally and don't feel like I can say no to people. And but like, it's okay to say no sometimes. Oh, I don't know about that. It's a tough pill to swallow. Like, it's,
Yeah.
ugh,
Taking
ugh.
things literally in that movie, I didn't consider it until now, you
Yeah, and
know.
it's the thing, I didn't realize that I had so many things in my life are affected by my brain, which that sounds like obvious, you know, like of course your brain runs you. Yeah, everything's gonna
Yeah, but it
be
takes over
connected.
2 decades to notice the patterns.
It does, especially when your whole family has the same neuroses, and so you think it's just all normal because my dad and I, we both have like sensory issues. Like, we don't like bright lights. Like, my mom would come home and all the lights in the house would just be off. And my dad and I would just be sitting in silence, just like dissociating. And she'd be like, "What are you guys doing?" We're like, "The lights were too loud. We needed a break."
No, that's so
Like,
funny because I heard the phrase, "What are you doing with
I'm
the
like, why would you turn the lights on?
out?"
There's so much when you turn a light on. It's, I can't stand like blue lights, like cool tone lights, warm tone only. I'm a
Yes,
lamp
one light.
household. I like,
Absolutely.
it's wild too, because it's now that I like know what so where some of my things come from, it makes it easier to like find accommodations for myself. Cause like now I know, like, oh, if I just bring earplugs or like noise canceling headphones, then I can be in public longer and I can be in crowds more. It's because I'm not getting like overwhelmed with sensory input. And so I sometimes I get mad because I'm like, why didn't I figure this out sooner? Why didn't I get help sooner? Because I get so angry about the time lost and the energy spent and like, but you can't like spiral that way. I mean, you can, I have, and I will again probably, but it's not healthy. But at the same time, I'm like, I figured it out though, or I'm figuring it out. We haven't got it fully locked down yet, but and I think like the proclivity for like books like Dragonology and Pyrotology, and we didn't have Egyptology. I thought we did because, but we had the one that was like the triangle, like it was shaped like a pyramid and it was gold. We had that one, but I don't think that's like
No,
Egyptology.
Egypt, I think, is a circle with like a bird head on it.
Yeah,
Because
it has
that was
that.
the other one that we had, not me personally, but that was around a lot. So like I don't think I knew that there was a pyrotology one until you mentioned
Oh,
it.
I highly recommend. But I didn't know there was more than just dragon, pirate, and Egyptology. But when I was like trying to find these again, I was like, there's a mythology, there's like a monsterology, there's, I might have to get more morology books and then just sort of dive into those because it sounds fun.
I think I had like an off-brand fairy version of this.
The Fairyopolis.
And
I ran across that one.
I
Yeah.
don't think I really touched it. I maybe because it was like less of an academic that I didn't touch it, so I don't recall,
But I will say the Spiderwick Chronicles I adored because it was very much so along these lines of like, hey, these things are real and this is how you can like check it. Like it was like a novel with story, but like I really enjoyed the, I don't know if it was like an appendix or like a separate book that like just listed or like showed the different types of like fairies and sprites and like their environments and what you can do to like engage with them and stuff like that. I may or may not have convinced my younger cousins that fairies were real, and then I pretended that I had amnesia, and then that I gaslit them into thinking, I was like, I've never talked to you about fairies. What are you talking about? And they fully were convinced that like the fairies got me and erased my memory.
I don't know where I heard this. It might have been an episode of You're Wrong About, but that in, I think, the early 20th century, there were these two girls in England who early photoshopped
Yes.
fairies and roped Arthur Conan Doyle into
Arthur
it.
Conan Doyle is such a gullible bitch. I love him. Oh my God.
Why not? Why not?
Ugh. I love that Harry Houdini hated him so much. Because Harry Houdini was like, Doyle, my boy, these are obviously fake. And Doyle was like, no, they're not Harry. And because Harry Houdini, like a whole one of his big things was like debunking like fake psychics and mediums and like
Oh.
magicians and stuff. The backstory of that, like it was either his like wife or mom or someone he was close to had passed away. And so he was trying to like get a medium to like contact them on the other side because
Right.
of because grief, you're like, I want to
Yeah.
speak to this person again. And he like, because he's Harry Houdini and he knows all the tricks, he like
Right.
caught the person like with like mirrors or something. He was like, okay, now this is my personal vendetta to like print out whole pamphlets and novels like detailing how people are like scamming people and how mediums are all fake. And like people hated him. They tried to like put a like a hit out on Harry Houdini because they were just like, this guy's ruining our like whole business. Like we need to give him a cease and desist. Like it's the lore there is I dove down at one point. It's just wild. You really do.
I need to get at like a good biography of Harry Houdini. And I feel like now that you're telling me all of this, I am like, what a perfect, like diametrically opposed pair of Houdini and P.T. Barnum. Of like,
Yes. I don't know if they ever met or if they were in the same era, but Harry Houdini would have hated
oh
P.T.
my
Barnum.
God. And what's
Hated him
so
so
weird
much.
is that I have Hugh Jackman as P.T. Barnum mentally from The Greatest
Yeah.
Showman. And I think there was within the last like 4 or 5 years, because I think I saw a billboard for it, there was Adrien Brody as Houdini, as like maybe a Showtime series. And they don't look identical, but they're very angular with brown
Yeah.
hair.
In a
It's
lineup, they would be put in the same lineup. Yeah. Yeah.
it just fits.
When I was going through this, like the art was so nostalgic. I'm allergic to pain and afraid of commitment, which is why I don't have tattoos. But like looking through and like seeing some of these like dragons, especially the ones like in flight or whatnot, I'm sitting here like, oh, do I would be so cool if someone got this tattoo. But like I would probably have to reach out to the artist and be like, is it okay
Yeah.
if I get this on my body? But my wife, she's been wanting to get matching tattoos with me for a while because she has a few already. Just like matching daggers or something, and that'd
Yeah.
be so cool. But I'm like, maybe like a dagger with a dragon on it. I don't know. So it's like the art in itself, so cool. Like the
Yeah.
pages are like yellowed to like imitate like old parchment paper. He's like watercolor, not watercolor, but like
Maybe, yeah.
maybe watercolors. I don't know. There, it's just like such a smooth design and coloring. And again, I didn't really have a great color theory professor, so I don't know how to get the science behind it, but it's just gorgeous. It's just a beautiful book. It's just so
Yeah, it's just
pretty.
like the people behind this very clearly cared. And I
Yeah.
think that even if you don't realize it explicitly as a child, you understand it and you
Yeah.
understand that. And it does, like, it feels like such a there, like there's a reason that kids flocked to this so much. It
Yes.
feels like such a special, like, not just the knowledge it contains, but the there's such a specialness about everything, about the way the book looks and feels, and it has like a weight to it. And
Yes. And because like it's like shiny and it's got these colors, but it's not like the bright jewel tones that a lot of children's
yeah.
books have. So it's again tying back to like what you said, like it's respecting the intellect of children. Like it's not like being condescending at all. It's like presenting like a like art as
Yeah.
something to get interested in. And like, and there's like labels on all the different dragon parts and stuff too. I know you mentioned like that the scatterbrainness was anxiety inducing for you, but for me it was like, oh, I have all these little bits and pieces I can like popcorn around on.
It definitely makes sense that like both of our readings of it make a
Yeah,
lot of sense.
this is why we're different. Okay, we're not the same person. Cool. We found the
We
one
found the
bit.
one thing. There was an audiobook that I started listening to, and I will find the title for you because I think you'll love it, but there was like a novel for adults about like a Victorian woman who is a dragonologist. And it's something like the title, something like A Lady's Guide to Dragons or something, but I'll find it and I'll send it to you. I remember one of the early scenes is like she's going to like a dragon zoo.
I just got a book that might be similar to that, actually. Is this cover like a dragon, but like it's like a like the label bits on it
Yeah, like an
still?
anatomical drawing.
Yeah,
Yeah,
like I
that might
have
be
that
exactly
physical
it.
book on my shelf. I haven't read it yet, but I think that is it.
That might be it, yeah.
I have so much trouble with audiobooks because my specific brand of ADHD also comes with an auditory processing disorder. And
Yeah.
so when I need to listen to podcasts, I have to watch YouTube clips of the
Oh.
people first because I have to read someone's lips in order to understand what they're saying. And then after I like quote unquote, like lock on to their like speech pattern or like their intonations and how they pronounce things, then I can listen to them. And so and that's why I listen to a lot of like McElroy Brother podcasts, because like I enjoy their content, but like I also like already locked on to their like speech pattern, so I don't have to like go through the whole rigmarole of like figuring it out. And that's why a lot of times I can't listen to like talk show podcasts because like for you, like because I knew you and I knew April, I could listen to the Twilight episode. But if I know you but I don't know the other person on it, I'll just be like, I don't know
what's happening.
I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. Someone help, mom, pick me up, I'm scared. If there are ever audiobooks you want to recommend, send the title to me and I'll see if I can find like the physical book version of it, because that that's definitely in my alley and I think I actually have it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I like audiobooks, but I like there are a lot of books that I'll be like, this one I want to read physically. Like the it's like the this either because of the language or something, or I know the author, or it's just like I really care about this. It is like it's like a tiered system of like if I don't really care about it, I'll listen to the audiobook.
I'm the same way with like books on like my phone or like App or Kindle. Like I started reading the Throne of Glass series by Sarah J. Maas on that, and then like a couple books in, I was like, okay, no, I need physical copies of this series because I need to just hold it, you know what I mean? Like, and it's also like that certain level of anxiety when you're like getting like towards the end of a book and you're like, the things that have happened haven't happened yet and we're running out of time. Like I love that for some reason. It's just I love a physical book. I love so many.
It's really bad in here it's really bad.
When I chose the Dragonology book to like talk about on here, I was like, do I want to pick like a more erudite thing to make me sound smarter? Because like, it's not like a book that you would like, it's not like a novel you would read, but like, it was so impactful. And like, there was so much more in it than I remember there being. Like, we're going to talk about dragons are cool, but obviously we had more to talk about than just dragons are cool, even though they are. So it's very fun. So I love dragons and pirates and nerd shit.
and always the most important thing is the strength of the memories and the feelings attached to it. And I like the breadth of this series, because the last episode I recorded was Grapes of Wrath, and the one I'm recording, well actually next one I'm recording is Mockingjay. We're gonna try to finally finish our Hunger Games series, but then the one after that,
I was in those movies, and my mom is on the soundtrack for Mockingjay. She's one of those singers on the, when they're blowing up the bridge. This is just a random aside, but my mom is one of the people who's singing when they blow up the bridge bit. And they filmed Catching Fire in the IKEA parking lot in Atlanta. And so that's where I went for a couple summers.
That's amazing. Speaking of, I'm listening to an audiobook that is called Finna, F-I-N-N-A, that is about, it's like a queer couple who just broke up, who both work at IKEA. And a customer, like an old lady customer, goes missing. And then they go into the break room and the manager is like, so IKEA sometimes has wormholes into other universes and we need you to go find this old grandma. Thank you. You and your ex, go.
Oh, I love that, Fina. There's another IKEA book that's like a horror novel about like set in IKEA that my friend Emma said was like, she's like a huge horror, but I'm a scared chicken baby. I read And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie when I was a child, and I was like, actually this is not the genre for me. I'm good. Like, this was one and done. My mom was like, I love Stephen King, and I'm like, you have fun with that, mother. I'm gonna be over here having a crisis about these riddles and dead people. Like, no. But like, if you're into horror books, I'll try to remember what that one's called, because it's also set in IKEA, but it's like scary. And she said like, it's like genuinely scary. Like, she doesn't get scared easy, but she's like, this is probably one of the most unsettling books I've ever read. And I was like, oh, I'm going to avoid it. Thank you.
I love that. Well, that's all I have on Dragonology.
Yeah.
Anything for you?
Dragons were totally real. And if you think otherwise, you're a big dumb, dumb doo-doo head. And that's my official stance on the subject. If you want to disagree, you can eat my shorts. So that's my closing remark.
Oh, and the most important question that I almost forgot, would you consider this required reading?
Yes, absolutely. If you've not read Dragonology before, you so should, especially if you have any sort of ADHD like flavored bit in your brain. You absolutely so good. Ah, So
It's
good.
so fun. It's so beautiful. It's an absolute treat. And I think it's just really special. Like, if you are constructing a library for a child, to have something different in
Yes.
format.
And interactive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Extremely. I think this could
So.
definitely be a book that like eases maybe reluctant readers into it, you know?
Oh, 100%. Especially like it, like if someone has like dyslexia or like other sort of disabilities, like it's still, you can still open this book and go through it and have such a great time. Like it's not just like a picture book. It's presented in such like a erudite way that it includes everybody in like how to learn and like curiosity and stuff.
Yeah.
It's so, so good. So good.
It really is. It's a great introduction to so many possible
Like
avenues to.
concepts and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Is there anything you want to plug? Do you want to be found by anyone?
Yes, I do. Please find me. So actually I would like to specifically plug
Yes.
the podcast that I produce, Queer PG. It's the TTRPG podcast. What we do is we play games that are written by people in the community, played with people in the community. You can find us at Queer PG Pod on Insta, Twitter, Tumblr, like all your fun socials. That's spelled QUEERPGPOD. Check it out. It's very fun. And you can find me at Definitely Not a Thespian on Insta, because I like lies and sarcasm
Fire.
when I'm doing it, I guess.
Thank you so much. I'm going to
Thank
end the
you.
recording.
Thank you for having me. It was a delight.
Absolutely. I just have to find the button. There it
The
is.
button.
Thank you so much to Ashley. The book that I mentioned is A Natural History of Dragons by Marie Brennan. I just put it on hold on Libby because it does have a line. We did not end up recording Mockingjay. It's our white whale, you know. Who knows if it's ever going to happen. Scheduling with three people is so much harder than scheduling from two people. But, oh, I just recorded Holes last night. I am recording The Tale of Emily Windsnap next week. Keep going, keep rocking, keep rolling. I'm hungry. It's time for toast. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Erin Bowles. You can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. R stands for raucous, rowdy, righteous. The end.